for the first 3 years, it's just difficult to build like friendships.
Erica, thank you so much for coming here this morning.
It's
I really appreciate it. Tell me, I start off with a lot of different ways, but what I'd like to start off with right now is ask you, why did you come to Japan? You've been in Japan for a while, haven't you?
Yes, for almost 6 years.
For 6 years?
Yes.
Okay. Where were you born?
I was born in Manila, but I grew up in the southern part of Manila, a province called Cavite.
Okay.
Hi. But I came here in Japan like almost 6 years ago. Due to the reason, like, I wanted to spend more time with my mom.
Your mom's here?
She used to live and work here.
Okay.
But now she's back and retired in the Philippines. Actually, not retired, but she's still into teaching, just maximizing her time to work. So.
Do you have siblings?
I do have one sibling.
Okay. What, older, younger?
Older, 2 years older.
You came to Japan to be with your mother?
Yes, because it's very strange that before moving here, like a year before moving here, I had a very strange dreams of her death. So, and then my friend's parents just like died like back to back. So I was just really afraid of not spending more time with her because like she used to live here and just coming back to the Philippines like once a year and just for a few days, just to check up on us, but she was the one who's fully supporting us with our studies and life in the Philippines. So I just really don't want to have any regrets. So she's not getting any younger. So I have decided to leave everything back in the Philippines and move here with her.
Okay. So how long was she here while you were here?
Like almost like my adulthood. She moved here in 1999. So, and then I moved here 2018.
Okay.
So like almost like around 15, 20 years.
Right. Back and forth. When you're going, she supported you all the way through?
Yes.
Most of your stuff, okay. Did you go to college?
Yes, I finished a bachelor's degree in business administration, major in management accounting.
In the Philippines?
In the Philippines.
Okay.
And before moving here, I already like spent like 5 years working in the corporate world.
Right. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, well, look, I want to find out, what kind of child were you? Were you more academic or were you more sports-minded as a child?
I'm academic kind of child before,
right.
Yes. Because I was very sick when, not really like very sick, but I had this lung concern illness when I was younger. And then later on, I had like asthma. So it was very active when I was younger. So they really tried to prevent me doing some sports.
Okay.
So
throughout school, most of the time you were just in books and studying and
yes.
stuff. What did you like to study?
I think history. Yes, history, math.
What's history like in the Philippines? What do you study? What do they give you to study for history? What did you get from your history that made you feel good about yourself being Filipino?
I mean, the thing that we really fought for our freedom. Right, so we've been conquered by the Spaniards. This is like now history lesson. Conquered by Spaniards for like 300 years.
Right.
So, and then Americans, Japanese. So like every time that we were conquered, like we're just trying to get our freedom back and try to live like the life that we wanted, like for the country, for the people. So.
How did you feel coming to Japan? Was it your first time when you came to see with your mother? Or had you been here before?
I've been here before for a vacation to visit her as well. But I am actually a Japanese descendant. So my great-grandfather is Japanese. So
so you have Japanese blood.
Yes. So I'm very open. I mean, it's already in the past. Those are like history. So we've learned from it. And I think it's not just like them conquering us, but they also like tried to influence us in like good things. So, and then I think it's always good to see, I mean, to look at the brighter side rather than those bad sides. So.
But your first time coming, was that when you came to see your mother?
Yes, that was 2016, just for a week.
For a week?
Mm.
And then you went back and then you came back?
2018.
Okay, and you've been here for 6 years now. My goodness, so what was your feeling about coming to Japan, what were the things, you come to your mom and you see how she's living, what were some of the thoughts that went through your head?
I mean, it was really great to see and experience like what's life in Japan, because like everything that I've thought of Japan is really, it looks so fancy, and I've been seeing like animes, like shows, Japanese shows, and I was just really excited living here. Like when my visit, it's like touristy stuff that I did, but like when I lived here, it's totally different. I mean, I think I really got like culture shocked. So, cause like even if I've heard a lot of things about Japan, living here is totally different culture-wise compared to the Philippines, people. I think most of the gaijins will agree with me.
But tell
first.
Me, what do you think the differences are? Tell me some of the differences.
I mean, people are more warm in the Philippines, like very welcoming. I think Japanese people are a bit shy, and how do you say that? Reserved. So, and I just miss that in the Philippines, that everyone like smiles at you, say hi, very welcoming. So I think that's one of the differences that I really missed in the Philippines. So,
right. You have any other things that you think that happened here in Japan that you feel that really shocked you in a way?
I mean, I think language is really like I think one of the top, because it's difficult to deal with people if you don't speak their language. And like for the Philippines, we speak Filipino and English at least. So in Japan, it's really difficult for me to adjust because I haven't prepared for learning their language. I mean, it's not their problem. It's actually like mine because I was the one who moved here. But yeah, I tried my best, like trying to learn their language at least so I could communicate with them. And I know that will be really helpful for my life here.
Right.
So
how much you plan on staying a lot longer?
Mm.
You think so? That's
yes. I treat this as my second home.
Your
so.
Second home. Mm. Okay.
And they were really, how do you say that? I was really happy that even though I felt that they were reserved at first, like later on I found some like people that are really welcoming. Mm-hmm. So, and then I felt like, okay, this is really like family, my second family and home, so.
I think the more reserved people are sometimes, the more warm they become if they accept you. But sometimes people have a smile and the people that seem to be so open can sometimes be the coldest.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you need them, they're not there. When people are warm, and I know Filipinos mm-hmm. are very warm people, do they, you think they have that devotion to stay in your friend indefinitely?
Yes.
That's there.
That's one of the, not unique, but like, that's one of the good characteristics of Filipinos. Like.
So they're really warm and they mean to stay?
Yes. Oh, they're always beautiful. There to help, even with strangers.
That's right.
If you come to my country, like,
I've been there a couple of times. I love the Philippines.
Yes. So even if they don't have much, they will offer what's really like, what they have for you, even if that's the last thing that they could even have. So,
right. You feel it's really safe in the Philippines too, as it is here?
In that in that area,
well, let's talk about
I couldn't
it.
Say yes. I'm going back to the Philippines in 2 weeks, and I'm a bit like afraid of going back in the sense of security, because I've been very how do you say it, like lenient here. Don't have to watch over things because I can just like walk freely, you know, without worrying anything in Japan. So I'm a bit afraid, but let's see. It's my country. I should be fine and safe. Yes, so.
That's good. Mm. And you told me you were really interested in mental health. Mm. You're concerned about mental. Why are you so interested in mental health?
I think it was because based on my experience, especially like moving here in Japan, I told you that like, it's really like a complete change for me, culture-wise, like, and friends. I don't have any friends here. Most of my mother's side families, relatives are here, but they're living like in, they're all over Japan.
Wait, you've been here 6 years and you're saying you don't have any friends?
I mean, no, now I do have,
okay,
but like
right.
initially and like
oh,
maybe for the first 3 years, it's just difficult to build like friendships, even with my Filipino countrymen, it's just really difficult for me to open up at first. So I was really into like mental health because I've experienced it. I had troubles actually still ongoing, but it just happened when my mom moved back to the Philippines. And just being alone, I think a lot of people in Japan, they have this loneliness, they used to live independently. And Tokyo's life is really like just very fast, you know, just work. And then sometimes they don't have like social life. So it's difficult to balance trying to keep up with your life, your goals, your career goals, life goals, and at the same thing, a lot of happening in your maybe like personal life. So going through something, I really wanted to advocate in that, especially when you're going through something, you should be able to try to help yourself as well, because a lot of people doesn't really realize it quickly. I mean, I've been following people who's really into mental health, but I really did not imagine that I'll be dealing with it.
Yourself?
Myself.
Can you talk about the kind of things?
I think I can somehow talk about it.
Okay, so what? What are the things in mental health? There are different ways to look at mental health. Mm-hmm. So how do you see it?
For me, you should have like a balanced life with work and your personal life. At the same time, you know, like socially, you should like mingle with people. And then, how can I discuss it? But like people like going through depression, you know, like, cause that for me, it was actually depression from my unprocessed traumas.
Like, you had traumas here?
No, it was like in the past, childhood traumas.
I understand. And they started rekindling, and you
yes.
started thinking about that.
Mm.
Did it make you feel, how did that make you feel? What were the feelings that went through you because of the trauma?
It just made me reminisce like everything, especially like when you're leaving alone, and in this country it was very quiet, so it just triggered everything. So and make you remember things. And now, because like when my life in the Philippines was also like very busy, like a lot of friends, a lot of like they're all like close together, and then you're busy with your life, and then a lot of things happening in our personal life, in our family life. So I was busy with responsibilities and everything, and then so I couldn't really even process that. But here, because of the silence, everything came in, and it was just too much to handle. So
what did it make you feel like? Did you want to talk with someone, or did you want to, were you thinking about ever hurting yourself?
At first, not really like thinking of sharing with anyone. I mean, I have a lot of friends, even in the Philippines up to now, but like I don't really felt talking with them, because I'm the kind of person that I wanted to deal it by myself.
Right.
Always, I don't want to be a burden to anyone.
I understand.
So I just tried to keep it with myself, and then it came to a point that, okay, if I don't share it, if I don't seek any help, I might be ending up hurting myself. Something like that. And that's really what I wanted to prevent. Like, not just for me, like for other people as well. So I really wanted to create awareness. I hope this talk will really like...
Just a question,
thoughts.
Erica. Do you think it was something that would be more... common with women than men, the way you were feeling about yourself?
I think it doesn't really like see any gender.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
Mm.
So, but this was basically because of your childhood trauma.
Mm.
But it could be other traumas too that you're concerned about?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, for myself, no, I think it's most basically like childhood traumas.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to find help?
Yes, I was able to do that because... Okay. When I'm already like in the verge of, okay, this is already like too much for me, I really need to seek like professional help.
So how'd you do it? Who'd you go to?
I tried to seek help here, but I felt like it's gonna be difficult for me to communicate my feelings. So I tried to do like an online therapy session. So I had it in the Philippines, like a psychologist in the Philippines. So, oh my gosh, this is my first time talking about this in public, but okay. Yeah, even like my mom doesn't know about this.
Do you want her to know?
I mean, I'm planning to.
Okay. Well, she'll know when you send this to her.
Yes. I'm going to, for sure, I'm going to share it with her. So.
That's good.
But I feel good talking about it. Like.
How long has it been?
I think like 2 years.
2 years now? And it's really helped you to feel better about yourself and the things that have happened in the past?
I think so. I believe so. Like for the first year, it was very difficult for me to share. Like I even skipped my sessions. Because I was like asked to do some things that, like something like to move on quickly, which is I think now I know why she wanted me to do that, my therapist. But it was just so difficult to handle at the beginning, because it's just too much information, and then you were hurt, you were in pain, and then you were asked to do like, oh, you can just move on. It's something like you felt like. They don't understand what you're feeling.
Right, right. Or they're making it trivial. Right. You say, wait, this happened to me, not to you, and I'm not going to keep on going through this if you make me feel like it doesn't mean anything.
So I tried to deal with it, and now looking back, what I did just to try to deal with it, it was just really, it was funny because I leaned into like working out. That's one of like how I cope up with it, like just to keep my mind off things, just working out, being healthy. I did the good things and bad things, not like super bad things, but
mom. This is for mom, right?
Mommy. No, sorry, but
I understand what you're saying, right? But the biggest thing is you got that endorphin kick from working out.
Yes.
So you kept on doing it. Did you work out to where it was actually bad for your health?
Because
some people overdo it. Some people overdo it.
That's true.
Right.
Not really. I think I was really at my fittest, that year that I was trying to battle with my mental health concern. But I think it was a good effect. I mean, good. Yes. So, and then like even now, I think the second year was really like a bit difficult because I leaned into like I didn't expect that, but leaned into some vices. Not like so bad, mommy, not so bad vices.
Okay. Right, right. But you had some vices that you thought helped to relieve some of your concerns or thoughts about. They're all basically, like you said, thoughts. These are just thoughts that keep on coming up, like almost like having a hiccup. You can't stop it. And you're saying, I'm trying to stop this hiccup, and it keeps on happening.
That's true. That's very difficult, because something here is, I mean, you can control it, but sometimes like it just like pass through and then just stay there for a while. So,
let me ask: do you think it would have been easier for you to do it here or in the Philippines?
You mean like trying
to deal with it, to overcome it, yeah?
I think it would be easier if I'm in the Philippines.
You think so? Why?
Because like most of my friends are there, and then life. Even if I'm busy with work, like life is really like different.
But if you're not telling anyone and you have your friends, aren't they just a distraction? You still don't deal with it.
Maybe I wouldn't feel like not sharing.
Oh, okay.
Because like I'll be surrounded with a lot of people, and it will be easier for me to open up.
But when did you start feeling that you had this issue? Did you feel that way in the Philippines, or is it just when you got here and it got silent?
Yes, that's correct. When I got here and got silent.
So that's the point I'm trying to make. If you stayed in the Philippines, what makes you think you would have opened up? Because it would never have been an issue. Because you'd never have that silent time.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's sometimes when you get in situations that aren't comfortable and you have to reflect on who am I, what am I doing, that you open up and you're able to take off that old shell. And then those wings can come out. You don't have to just crawl anymore. But if you just keep on crawling and eating leaves, you don't know that inside you have a butterfly.
That's also true.
Don't you think? So being here was kind of, that's what happened to me when I went into the military. I was so afraid. And you're in basic training and you're around people, no one you know. you can't leave.
Because you're already there.
You're there. And you start thinking. You really start thinking about, who am I? What is this about? What happened to me? You know, why do I think this way? Really, you start having a lot of thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think that's very human. Mm-hmm. But it's good to be able to address them, don't you think?
I think so.
That's when you grow. Mm. And particularly if you're thinking about bringing someone else through you mm-hmm. into this world.
That's also what I'm trying to, that's why I'm trying to fix myself.
Why, you want to have children?
Of course, in the future, I want to have.
Not everybody wants to have kids, especially nowadays. Mm.
But I think that would be really like something that I really long, I mean, looking forward in my life. But before that, that's why I'm also thinking, okay, I have to, maybe that's why I don't have a partner right now, but I'm dating. And I was thinking, okay, if I'm not getting any younger, if I'm gonna settle, I want it to be like, not perfect, but at least I could prepare myself. I don't wanna pass on some, you know, traumas or anything with my family, my future children. So I have to be like 100% mm-hmm. invested with them. So I wanted to fix myself first, and then hopefully later on it will just like go through the natural way and perfectly. So,
well, don't you feel this way, Erica? I'm thinking just through situations I've been through. We always think that there's some place when you fix it, it's done. Mm-hmm. Like exercise. Mm-hmm. I haven't met one person that could do one push-up and say, I'm fit now.
That's true.
or take one breath and say, now I'm living. Mm. Isn't it a constant movement? You're always going to have those thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to understand that and realize that it's part of life. It's part of your life this time, so deal with it. I have tinnitus. You know what tinnitus is? Mm. It's a ringing in the ear.
Okay.
And I got it because being in the Air Force, you're on the flight line, you're hearing jet engines all the time. So I have a constant ringing. Mm. I only hear this ringing when I think about it, like now. But if I don't think about it, but it's still there, whenever I want to, it's constant. Mm-hmm. But some people, that drives them nuts. But for me, I've decided that's what my life is about. Mm. Just like scars I have. Mm. I can either think, oh, that's a horrible scar, or people realize I've been living my life. Mm-hmm. I had to do something to get that scar. Mm-hmm. You can't stay at home and get it. So I think that's the same with, even if it isn't your fault, people, it is probably a person or people that have created your trauma, right? Mm-hmm. Here I go trying to help you now.
Thank you.
No. But people have done it. Mm-hmm. They have their own trauma.
That's
you,
true.
You're worried about your mother. She's probably never told you about her traumas. Mm-hmm. And she's had to have them if she's living. Mm-hmm. Everyone does. Mm-hmm. There's no way to avoid it. It's called life. Mm-hmm. So it's just how you learn to go about dealing with it, which I think is very important. Mm-hmm. Most people hide stuff that they maybe should be talking about. And that in itself is a relief. Don't you
That's
think
true.
Sometimes?
That's just, true.
It makes you feel like, you're not carrying it by yourself, and you find out other people have had this thought too. There's a woman by the name of Dolly Parton. You know her?
Miss Dolly Parton.
She said that her daddy told her that if you ever want to feel good about your problems, just ask somebody else about theirs.
That makes sense.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
You'll find out your problems aren't that bad if you start asking other people about theirs. Mm-hmm. You'll find out, some people have been through, and they've still end up being people that glow, that live life. And you think, they're so fun, and they've done so much. And then they tell you about their past, and you go, people that have experienced life are the ones that can help others experience life better. But they can't sit in a chair all day and say, now let me tell you how to live life. They have to get out there and get those scars, get those bruises, get in relationships, get hurt. Know what all the emotions, not all of them, but what a lot of the emotions mean by being involved, don't you think?
Yes, I totally agree, Mr. Lee, because I think I'm already like in the phase of like trying to accept everything that has happened. And it will take time. It's a long process, but I think I'm more open of accepting what really happened. And I'm trying to make ways for me to finally like move on and like you mentioned, like there, they, maybe those people who did, who was the, like, catalyst to my trauma were really like, also people who had trauma in their childhood.
That's always the case.
So,
but that doesn't make it right what they did or what happened to you as a result of it. But you realize, they didn't have any other. That's all they knew. Mm-hmm. What do you do for activity outside of thinking about mental health? What do you do? How do you spend your day?
I love cooking. I love spending time in the kitchen. So making food, not just for me. I mean, I tried to learn it for me because so I could really eat what I really wanted, you know. But I really like making food for the people I really care about. So family, friends, special someone. So I really
When you came here, did you start cooking with your mother, for your mother?
Yes, of course.
You did? Does she cook as well? Does she like to cook?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think started that feeling that you would like to cook?
For me, it was really relaxing because, of course, it keeps your mind off things. And then when you're cooking, you're thinking of the people you wanted to feed. And it just makes it more special, right? So it's like a therapy for me.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What kind of foods do you like to cook?
Of course, Filipino foods. So anything.
Like what?
My favorite is sinigang. It's a sour-based soup, tamarind-based soup. It's sour. So it could be with seafood or meat. So, and kare-kare, it's a peanut butter-based stew.
Okay.
Yes, so something like that. And sweets as well.
What kind of sweets?
Filipino desserts like leche flan. It's a caramel pudding. And then we have buko pandan with coconut strips and jellies, sweetened.
Can you get all the ingredients here easily?
Not easily, but there's a lot of Filipino stores, so.
I would think so.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
Now, yes, yes,
we're
yes,
everywhere,
yes.
So it's not going to be that difficult.
And you get all the stuff you want. That's nice. So you've been able to build a good community of friends now?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how often do you do this? How often do you talk to your therapist? Is it a therapist?
Yes, a psychologist.
Psychologist, okay. How often do you speak with her?
At least once a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how long are the sessions usually?
Sessions are like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to tackle a lot of things, so I try to prepare ahead so I can discuss, like every time I have the thoughts, like thoughts of some things, and then I would like to ask where I verify, and like through that process, I'm not just able to deal with my concerns, but also try to learn more about myself, why I'm feeling this way, how could it be triggered, like what are the triggers that really lead me into like having those feelings, something like that. So it was really like I think it's a good learning time for me as well.
Right. How do you feel like most of your days? Do you feel like, do you wake up in the morning? What are your thoughts when you wake up in the morning?
Work. Work. Just try to get up and then come to work.
How long have you been working here?
I've been working with the in the club for five years. February 19.
And you said you do love being here in Japan. You think it's good for you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you're learning about yourself here, really. So this has been the place you've been able to find yourself.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
You look relaxed to me. You look like you don't have a worry in the world. But that's the facade everyone carries.
Yes.
Isn't
that
the truth?
That's true.
Especially
I'm really
the
good
people,
at that.
especially for the people they're just meeting that they don't know.
Mm-mm.
Why would you say, hey, I feel like this? You know, that's the last thing you want to do.
Mm-mm.
But is that sometimes while you're working, do you get that feeling inside?
Not lately, like for the past year, not really. Because I've been able to handle it somehow, well. But like for the first year, as I told you, like it was really difficult. There was a time, like even when I was like at work, I was busy, but suddenly the thought just like came in. Oh my gosh, why am I thinking of this? I mean, I did not do anything to trigger it, but it was just maybe at its peak during that time. So it was difficult to handle.
What would you do during that time? What would you do?
I tried to get up and then maybe talk to someone, not about it, but like with something else. So just try to make my brain process something else. So
that's interesting when you have something like that, isn't it?
Super. Like, didn't expect that I'll be dealing with that.
Wow. But you're so glad you did, aren't you?
I am. Because if not now, like, when?
It would come out.
For sure.
It would come out. If you live long enough, it will come out.
For sure. And
you're going to feel it.
It's better to deal with it right now.
And continue to. Like I said, I don't think it's something that goes away. It's just something that loses its power over time. But it's still there. Mm-hmm. And then you pick it up. Just like any memory. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is right now. It's not something that's happened to you. It's a memory. And memories do start to fade unless you keep on giving them energy. They say you have a good wolf and a bad wolf, right? It depends on which one you feed as to which one's going to become the strongest. If you keep on feeding the good wolf, that's all you're going to have to deal with. But if you keep on feeding the bad wolf, then you get.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Maybe like at this stage, I'm just trying to see like, or maybe how can I take full control? So as you said, like, okay, you have to deal with it through time. It's not gonna be gone forever, you know? It's already there. So you just have to make, like, how can you have the full control with your thoughts? So.
Right. And then you decide what to tell people, what not to tell. I don't think that, some people are talking about being honest, this and that, but really, are we? Do you have to tell everyone everything? I think being responsible is sometimes keeping to yourself. You know, why? Why do my sons need to hear things about my life that I don't think would help them any? It's like my father, when I got into the service, I found out that the service was segregated when he was in. I didn't know that. I didn't know they had all blacks and the people above the blacks were white.
Wow.
I might have, but it didn't hit me. There were four other blacks in my squadron, but everybody else was white. And 60 people, everybody else was white, and it was just me and these four. These four guys didn't want to deal with me because they were from the South. I'm from California, so I spoke different. So my friend was Martinez. Anyway, when I asked these four guys after we saw this video, or a movie, did you know that? They said, of course we knew that, because they're from the South. So when I went home, I said, Dad, was the service segregated when you were in? He said, yeah. So you mean everyone was above you was white? He said, yes. Why didn't you tell me? He said, is it that way now? I said, well, no, I don't think so. And he said, those are my skeletons, not yours. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I don't know if it's going to be prudent necessarily for your kids any more than your mother felt it was for you. Because you end up getting your own anyway.
Yes.
What if she piled hers onto you? That's interesting, but that's what life is all about. And we're all looking for that person or those people we can talk to. Usually it's one, but the one person you need to really learn to talk to, if you can do it, is yourself. When you can look in the mirror and tell that Erica you love her and really mean it, you'll never have another enemy. Anyway, Erica, before I end the podcast, there's a question I always like to ask.
Hi.
If you could go back in time and meet the younger Erica and give her advice, how old would she be? And what advice would you give her?
I think I would talk to my 5-year-old self and tell her, you are so brave.
Erica, thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Ree. Oh my gosh.
I want to thank all of you for watching the podcast or listening to it. And never forget, it's all unknown, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you're too blessed to be stressed.